So we're going to read the account in John chapter 20. There's 21 verses, but I wanted to read that this morning. It says, early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying, and as she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. And they asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" She says, "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they've put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. And he asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it that you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you've put him, and I will get him." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And he said, after he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. And the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." You know, that grave, that tomb's empty this morning. The grave's empty. Jesus is alive. He's not dead. You know, the crucifixion satisfied the sin debt. There was a debt to be paid. And Christ paid that. He paid your debt for sin. And counted you as righteous. You know, he counted you as righteous by what he did. But the resurrection is what gives you life. The resurrection gives you life. Aren't you glad Jesus didn't stop at Friday? He wasn't done. Now, last week we talked about Jesus riding in on a donkey. And he knew what was coming. He knew what he was headed for. You know, he went to the Garden of Gethsemane. And I always think of that on Easter because there was such a big battle there. There was a battle with Satan there. He had several, but there was a big one. There was a big victory right there. Because we got to remember, Jesus was both God and man. He was God, but he had humanity too. And the humanity side has the same attributes that we have. He has the same feelings, the same things going on. He was perfect because he made the right decisions that we don't always make. But he had the same things that we have, the same feelings, the same things happen to him, that happen to us. Anything that could happen to us, he faced. You know, he's been through it. He went through it. And the human side was having trouble. The human side knew what he was facing. Three times he asked for the cup. cup is God's wrath and separation from God. Three times he prayed in that garden for that to be taken from him. Finally, threw drops of blood because the stress that he was under was so great. And we know that's true even in modern times where people at death row before they go for execution are in such stress, the vessels at the surface burst and they sweat blood. Jesus was at that state. He sweat blood through the stress he was under. And three times he asked, is there any other way? No, is there another way we can do this? Three times God said no. Said no. This is the only way. Jesus was the only way. We see Jesus made a decision. He chose to be obedient. He said, not thy will, or not my will, but thy will be done. It wasn't about him. It was about what God wanted. No matter the cost. No matter what he had to do. I think you see that especially when the soldiers came. You know, the others were asleep. He told them to get up. It's time. Let's go. He was ready. He was resolved to do what God wanted him to do. Let's go. I'm not going to go through it all, but you know kind of the story. You've seen it on TV and throughout Easter's and stories and books. And you know, Jesus went through the arrest. You know, he went through friends leaving him. Friends that had lived with him, been close to him for about 3 years. The trials that were illegal. False witnesses providing false testimony. And we know the beatings and the mocking and the flogging and the cross. All of which he chose to do. He made the decision to do for you and me. Gave himself over for you and I to face what he didn't want us to have to face. He had us in mind through it all. A lot of times we're going through difficulties. You know, our mind's on ourselves. We're not thinking of anybody else. We're not thinking of other people. But he did. Through the worst of it. Even asking for forgiveness for those hammering the nails in his hands. Father, forgive them. They don't understand. They don't know what they're doing. Even one on the cross beside him was on his mind. Said, you'll be with me in paradise today. Because of their conversation. It wasn't about him. It was about us. It was about others. To the end. No, he drank that cup. The cup God gave him. Now, we drink a little bit of it, but we don't drink it all like he did. He went through the separation from God to take away our sin. Sin separates. God can't be in sin. Sin separates. Sin causes spiritual death. Sin can also cause physical death. But sin causes spiritual death. You know, the physical and mental suffering Jesus went through were terrible and awful. But separation from God when he took on all of our sin was the worst. You know, I said, my God, why have you forsaken me? I wonder, why would he say that? You know, he knew why. He knew why. It was personal. Because it was for you and me. separation was painful, though. That separation was the worst. And a little while later, he said, it is finished. It's finished. It's paid in full. The debt's been paid. I've come to do what I come to do. And it says the curtain was torn from top to bottom. Will that open the way to God for each and every one of us? A place that was closed off, we couldn't go, was not open. Open for everyone to have direct access to God if they so choose through Christ. Didn't have to go through somebody else. It wasn't limited. It's open for all through Christ if you choose to go. I can't imagine the high priest that day. You know, that was closed off. He could only go back there once a year, and whoa, what a... That thing's torn. What are we going to do? I don't think I, you know, a needle and thread and straight to go, whoa, I got to fix this. But I'm sure it got his attention. But it opened the way to God through Christ. You know, Friday paid the price for our sin. But as I said, Saturday seemed without hope. You know, what went wrong? Sometimes people tell us important stuff and we forget it amongst things going on around us. You know, Jesus had already told them what was going to happen. He told them he was coming back. They didn't think about that. They were in the pain at the time. So they're saying, what went wrong? What is happening? You know, he's gone. But then we find the stone rolled away on Sunday. But Jesus isn't dead, he's alive. You know, our hope is full in him and the resurrection. Not only are we saved from sin, but we're saved to eternal life. We got it all. We talked this morning a little bit about, you know, the stone wasn't rolled away for Jesus to get out. He didn't need that. The stone was rolled away for people to get in. To see that he wasn't there. To see that he had arisen. 1 Peter chapter 1, 3 through 5. Says, praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, because in his mercy he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept for you in heaven, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. His life gives you an inheritance if you're a child of God. You have to be a child of God to get the inheritance. But it's one that will never perish, spoil, or fade. It won't go away. It's our future. It's an eternal life with Christ. You know, death has no power over us because Jesus has overcome death. He's just the first one. It's a promise. You read in other places, you know, but that gift is the gift of the Holy Spirit as well. And the Holy Spirit's a deposit guaranteeing what's to come. He doesn't want us to be worried all the time. Am I good enough? Am I right enough? The answer is no, you're not. But if you know he is, and he imputed those things to us, his righteousness, that we're counted that way, that we too, just in faith of him, overcome death to be with him. It's a guarantee. You don't have to worry about it once you've accepted Christ. If he's your Savior and you know him personal and you have that relationship, you don't have to worry about it. He's promised what's to come. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 23-26 says, but Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. But each in turn, Christ, the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him. Then the end will come when he hands over the kingdom of God to the Father, after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet, and the last enemy to be destroyed is death. You know, Jesus is the first of all those who believe in him to be made alive. Death couldn't hold him, and it will be kept for up. Again, a promise that that's held for us until our time comes. And one day we will enjoy eternal life with Jesus under his heaven and his rule. We'll be alive in a way that we can't comprehend in this life. It's going to be a lot different. It's going to be a lot better. Our bodies will be different. You know, there won't be death. There won't be pain. There won't be sorrow. Those things will all be gone. Because we'll be under God as it should have been from the beginning, as it was arranged. We're going to have an invitation this morning. It's a time that you can sit in your seat or you can come forward and, you know, whatever you need to say to God, whether it's thankfulness, praises, or something on your heart you want to give to him, or you want to tell him, or you want to ask him, you know, it's available today to do that. John 11, verses 25 and 26. It says, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? You can probably ask us that today. I'm the resurrection and the life. Those believing in me will never die. Do you believe it? Or is it something you just read? Something you just heard about? Do you truly believe it? If you do, does your talk indicate it? Does your life indicate it? Does it show? Jesus not only paid the price and shed his blood dying for your sins, but he arose and he conquered death so that you true will never truly die. You know, like to look at death as a door. It's just another place we're going. You know, the curtain to the Holy Holy's been opened. The stone's been rolled away. You're invited into all that God has to offer. He wants to give it to you. He made it for you. You know, and it's not hard. It's not hard to believe that. He doesn't make it hard. I caution you, if anybody, you're at any place that says it's Christ plus, run away. Just run away. Because Jesus was enough. He was enough. Just Christ. Any plus is something we have to do, and that won't work. Christ only. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. We'll close with this one. How easy is it? Or how hard is it? Well, it says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It is with your heart that you believe and are justified. It is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. Is that easy? You know, there are two places in eternity. There's an eternity in hell. There's an eternity with Jesus. You're going to one of them. That's the only two choices. You don't get to pick another place or not to go to one of them. That's the two choices. You know, he provided the way. You just have to ask for it. You just have to grab a hold of what he's offering you. You know, you know the verses. God loved the world so much that he gave his only son, that whosoever believed in him would not perish but have everlasting life. That's what he's offering today. If he didn't come in to condemn the world's already condemned. He came so that the world through Jesus might be saved. And he did what he had to do to take sin away and give eternal life. That's what he did this weekend. Took sin away and then he rose to life so that we too could have it. You know, I pray you've made the decision to accept the work of Jesus. And you choose to follow him in obedience. That it be God's will, not your will, to do the things he desires you to do. I pray you made that choice. If you haven't, you need to. People probably thought they would be around today that aren't. They're planning on tomorrow, and they may not be. And at that point in time, the decision's made. You know, he's alive today, and he desires you to live with him eternally. He's gone to prepare a place for you. He's got it ready. He's ready for you to come. And as he told the ladies, you know, as soon as the ladies recognized him, she recognized him. As soon as in other passages they recognized him, what did he tell them? Go and tell. Go and tell. If you know him, if you recognize him, go and tell. That's what he's called us to do. But before you do that, make sure you know him. Make sure you have that relationship with him. Let's pray.